Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is indeed a pleasure to invest some time with you to share those sparks, especially early in the new year when people are focused on positive change and creating the best life they desire and deserve. And this week, in this particular podcast, it is January, and this past Monday was Blue Monday. Now, some of you may not have heard about Blue Monday. I know I hadn't until I'd come across it with my Saving Superwoman colleague, Lynette Patterson, who is a health coach, life strategist. And we co-wrote a blog called 8 Ways to Boost Your Mood from Blue to Bliss, and it is available at www.savingsuperwoman.com. And it got me to thinking that it's been a while since I've shared strategies for getting your brain on your side to how you can make lifestyle choices that support you to create that life you desire and deserve. Because in my work, whether it's with Brain Booster Club at brain-booster-club.com, or with Saving Superwoman, or with brainbonanza.com, the passion, the purpose that drives me is the commitment to empower people to live their passions in joy with their best brains as the CEOs of their own lives. And often we find in our lives that we feel like or perceive that we have no control, that it's as if our brain, our coworkers, our children, the bills, whatever it is, has pulled our control for how we feel. And so in this segment, let's explore how you can boost your mood from blue to bliss. How do you go from feeling blue to feeling blissful to really enjoying the moments of your life? An interesting quote came across my radar on Blue Monday of all days, and it's from Lori Buchanan, and it says, "Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing." I'm going to repeat that because it's a very powerful concept. Whatever you are not changing, you are choosing. That statement brings the power right back to you. And it's okay if you choose something. Just acknowledge that is indeed your choice. Because when we move to victim language around, I can't do this, they did that to me, we've lost our sense of control, which can lead to a feeling of stress. Dr. David Diamond's definition of stress is one of my favorites. He is a neuroscientist who does research on stress in the brain. And he defines stress as when we think or perceive we have no control. oh, I forgot the beginning. It's the emotional and physical response that occurs when we perceive we have no control. So in our minds, we create our own story about things that happen. Or we embrace the stories of others, whether it's the news media or that friend who's telling us how terrible and horrible people are treating us. And the crux of crucial conversations, one of the pieces of crucial conversations, is to examine the story, both your story and the story of others. Because when we make assumptions about stories, or and that other people have the same story we do, or we assume that our story about what they're thinking or doing is correct, we can create miscommunication. Byron Katie, the author of The Work, a four-step process that can change your life, also says that we create our situations by the stories that we tell ourselves. One of my favorite quotes of Katie's is that you can argue with reality and you will lose only 100% of the time. When you put your claws and dig your heels into an idea, it should be this way. Even if it's not this way, that's when we create stress, drama, misery. And so there are many resources available to help you come up with a process or a strategy to change your story, to change your thinking, to change your language, all of which will boost your mood, can help you move from being a victim to a victor, as Joel Osteen says, to go from feeling blue to feeling joy or bliss. And sometimes, you know what, we just want to feel sad. We want to feel sad for the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a pet, or we just want to feel sad for whatever reason. And you know what, you can give yourself permission to feel sad for some time. One of the problems is when we decide that being sad is that's just the way we're going to live every minute of every day. Janet Atwood and Chris Atwood, the authors of The Passion Test, say in their work that what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. The next language, and I've heard others use it too, is whatever we resist persists. I like that. And when Lynette said that, I said, ooh, yes, because resist persists. Love alliteration, love rhyme. So whatever we resist persists. Why? Because we think about it. When we think about it, we put attention on it. When we put attention on it, our reticular activating system of our brain brings to our conscious awareness all the evidence it can sense in the environment that supports what we're thinking about, what we are focused on. So when you focus on what you do not want, surprise, no, you get more of it. And right now, Live Healthy America, Live Healthy Iowa, has just launched this week their 100-day wellness challenge. And as we are putting teams together at the credit union where I also work, we're talking about the name of a team and the idea that when you focus on losing things, losing weight, for example, most of the things, when we lose something, our brain's like, oh, we have to find it. It's lost. We need to find it. Well, when it comes to weight, I don't know about you, but if it goes, I want it to stay gone. So the idea around embracing healthy lifestyles, choosing health, that's what I want. That's what I want my reticular activating system to focus on, healthy lifestyle choices. And as my regular listeners may know, John Gordon every year chooses a word for the year, each member of his family does, and I've taken that on as well and shared that with some clients. And my word for 2012 is healthy, because you can have physical health, emotional health, financial health, business health. So truly focusing on health, making healthy choices in all areas of my life. And so I tend to see opportunities that support health, choices, examining choices that support health. And it's a strategy that you can use. So rather than resisting feeling sad, we'll go back to the strategy of allow yourself to feel sad. Rather than resisting it, just allow it for a while. Have a good cry, whatever works for you. Set a timer, or just curl up on the couch. Say, this is my weekend to be sad. And when I'm done being sad, then I'll move on to something else. So, yes, I'm making that choice, allowing yourself to feel sad. You can also change your self-talk. What is that voice in your head telling you? Oh, my goodness. It's so powerful. That voice is with us 24/7, and it can be a raving fan, a great support, a coach, or it can be a terrible critic, can be abusive, and can be counterproductive to what we say we want in our lives. There's some great tools for changing your self-talk. And both Lynette and I use this question when we work with our clients. And that is, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, your self-talk, how many friends would you have? I love it when I use this in seminars too, because I watch people's facial reactions to that question. And there's a pause, and then someone will say, wow, I wouldn't have it. I would never talk to anybody else the way I talk to myself. So what if a strategy you chose was speak to yourself as kindly as you would to someone you love? To replace the critical words with words you would say to support a friend in your situation. Or with all our electronic devices, when that critical voice starts in, oh, here you go again, and da-da-da, before it gets going too far, you press the mental stop button, and you push play on something else. You replace it. That's a strategy Jack Canfield used many years ago when it came to self-esteem. He used the phrase cancel, cancel, with whatever critical comment was made. And then he'd cancel that, cancel, cancel, and replace it with what he wanted, with something that was supportive. You can develop that habit. It does take conscious attention, like any change you're trying to make. And as you become more skilled, you begin to do it automatically, and your language will begin to shift. That you will maybe start saying something critical, but you'll stop yourself. And you will choose something supportive. And for some people, it's that commitment of stop. I'm choosing supportive language. And then replace it. And you can do it all mentally, or you can have a friend. If you find yourself talking, speaking out loud, being self-critical, putting yourself down, get an external voice, a coach, a colleague, a dream team, a mastermind group who can counter that with you and challenge you to live the change you want to create. And remember, like with anything, there are mistakes. We're going to have mistakes as we go through the change process. It's okay. It's expected. And we get better. We recommit. Success. You learn something that doesn't work, a context that's challenging. For some people, taking the word can't, C-A-N apostrophe T, out of their language, self-talking otherwise, is very powerful. My Aunt Shirley used to say, can't, never, could, do nothing. Grammatically challenging. But it stuck with me. I was a young child when she said that. And as I've grown in my work with psychology and education and training and development and coaching, if there's someone who says, I can't change, I can't do it, they are absolutely right. until they're ready to be open to that change, to change their language around that and their belief around that, things will stay the same. Their reticular activating system will bring to their conscious attention all those things to support that belief that they can't be successful, they can't whatever. So one of my favorite tools around, if you choose to release can't from your life, is to become aware how often you use it and just put tally marks on a sheet of paper. Be surprised, both self-talk and otherwise. And then have a funeral for can't. It's in the very first Chicken Soup for the Soul book. There's a story called the I Can't Funeral. And I've used it with students and clients, and it's a very, very powerful exercise to relanguage things, because in the exercise, I believe it was second grade students, teacher had them write for 3 or 5 minutes everything they can't do. I can't do math, I can't fly, I can't sing, I can't this, I can't that. And when they couldn't think of anything to write, they had to say, I can't think of anything to write. And then something else might come. And then when they were done, she collected them all up, put them in a shoebox, and went out to the yard, schoolyard, and buried them. And they had a funeral ceremony, and there was a tombstone poster they put up in the room. Rest in peace, I can't, or can't, here's the date. So anytime someone wants to say, well, I can't, they point to the tombstone and have to choose another word. There are a lot of things we can say instead of I can't. I have physical challenges to that success. I choose not to. I will not. I do not want to. There are all sorts of other words that are more accurate than I can't. So consider taking can't out of your language. And, you know what, as you do that, whenever you hear yourself, think it, say it. You put a rubber band around your wrist, snap it. One of the things that Will Bowen does in his book, The No Complaint Rule, is has a rubber bracelet. And every time you complain out loud, you switch it to the other wrist. And the goal is to make it through a day with it staying on one wrist. And at first, people are changing them sometimes several times a minute. And with practice and patience and attention, the bracelet moves less and less. Awareness does lead to choice. So becoming aware of where the challenges lie is also a step, a critical step. Because sometimes we think, oh, you know what, I don't say can't a lot. Ask your coworkers, ask your family, do I say can't a lot? And track it. That's another tool, another strategy that you can use, changing your self-talk. Your self-talk will help you move from being blue and sad to feeling better about things. To look at what went well today instead of what went wrong. We are so quick to look at what goes wrong. And then we feel overwhelmed by everything that went wrong today, all the mistakes I made today, all the problems I had today. And oh, pretty soon our shoulders are slouching, we're leaning over, we're just so tired. And we create that emotional state with our language, with our thoughts, and with our talk. What if we changed that? What if we said, yes, this is what happened, and this is the lesson I learned. TNT is a dynamite idea, the next time. Move from blue to bliss by saying, you know what, this is what happened, this is what I learned, this is how it's going to be better next time. It's a very, very powerful strategy to teach kids, too, because they will continue to make mistakes throughout their lives. How they face those mistakes, how they learn those lessons, can empower them to be resilient and be more successful, or to give up. And often when we give up, that's when it becomes failure versus lessons and learning. Failing Forward by John Maxwell is a wonderful book about taking lessons from things that go less than as well as we expected. They're not stellar. Yet, we can take valuable lessons and build on those to create more success. So who are you sharing it with? You know, and sometimes people, it's a journal. They write their private thoughts. And the physical act of writing and writing about your dreams and your visions and what went well today and who you helped today and how, what steps you're taking towards your dreams today. What are you grateful for today? I'm an intermittent writer when it comes to journaling. I think about it every day. Every morning when I wake up, I'm grateful for the opportunity to have another day to make a difference. Before I go to bed, thinking about being grateful for the people that cross my path, lessons that I've learned. And there's definitely value to writing because your journal becomes a log where you can look back and say, wow, oh my gosh, the way that I keep my calendar becomes somewhat like that as well. How do you track what goes well? Especially in those moments when you're starting to feel like, oh my gosh. I know for years I've kept what I call a smile file in both, in all of my jobs, in my business and at the credit union where I work. Even I've got one for my family. It's a place that I keep those notes that I write, notes that I receive, where people have said, wow, I just want to tell you thank you. You made such a difference in my life. Or there may be something, a report about the success of a project, that goes in a smile file. Because there are days, we all have them, where we wonder, why in the world am I going to this job? Why am I dealing with it? Why am I trying with these kids? You know, and when we go to that smile file, even if it's for a couple minutes, we can change our state to begin to focus on what's going right. And you know what? Remember earlier I said, what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. And when you're talking to your kids in frustration about your room's always a mess or you don't get your homework done, and well, guess what? That's where their brain goes, oh, I don't get my homework done. So we still have trouble. So what if we say, you know what, I know you can be responsible. You've done it before. So what do you need to do? How can I support you in continuing to grow in your responsibility with getting your homework done or your chores or whatever it is? What system can you develop? What kind of charting, record keeping, making things visual? We're working on that right now in our family of having a weekly chart checklist that so we can each be individually responsible. It's a great model for our son. And he can see in visual form what he's done, what he hasn't done, and it becomes more concrete. He's 10. As adults, sometimes we need that same kind of charting, whether it's exercise, nutrition, steps to complete a project. Let's see, how many steps have I done? Where am I needing to go? Did today move me closer? Today move me further away? It's another way to track, a plus up or a minus down. Here's your where I'm starting at the midline, and every day I get closer, I move up a box on the graph, on the chart. Every day I don't do so well, I move back down. And so over the course of a week and a month, you begin to see a pattern. That's another way to begin to become aware of what's happening. Now, I will also, again, suggest that you visit savingsuperwoman.com to read more about more strategies of those 8 ways to boost your mood from blue to bliss. We've talked about allow yourself to feel sad, changing your self-talk. There's also related to that one of my favorites, which is to take a time out, to take some deep breaths, which gets more oxygen into your system and gets some of the toxic carbon dioxide and out. And as you take a very slow, deep inhale, think about blessings in your life. We all have them. And it can be the blessing of, I'm alive today, I have food today, whatever the blessing is, people in your life. And as you are having that deep inhale, inhale blessings along with your breath, putting your attention on your blessings. As you slowly exhale, feel the gratitude as you pass each of those blessings. And repeat 3 or 4 times. And just that short exercise changes your physical, mental, and emotional state. Inhale blessings, exhale gratitude. It's an exercise that I created a number of years ago for a seminar on Be the Zebra, Choose Your Stress. And I've used it with clients and myself. It's one of the practices that helps me, especially when I'm feeling stressed or sad, or I was like, really? Okay, well, inhale blessings, exhale gratitude, and notice the physical, emotional, and mental change on the other side of it. And you can repeat it as often as necessary And as you reduce your stress, you'll improve the quality of your thinking and problem solving as well. In our last few minutes, or 5 minutes, I do want to talk real briefly about the difference between the blues and depression. And in the blog, there are several considerations, symptoms of actual medical depression. So if you're not sure whether you're just feeling blue or it's really depression that may need medical intervention, you can refer to this blog. But things like fatigue, always being tired, because people who experience and suffer from depression lack physical vitality. And so they're just not energy. Now, it's different from seasonal affective disorder, which in the winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, a number of us have less energy, but truly it's fatigue, feelings of hopelessness, pessimism. And so, again, people go to the doctor when you have a physical challenge. And very often depression can have a physical basis. And sometimes it's just also getting mental support. Mental health is just as critical as our physical health. And we didn't come with a manual. We weren't handed one. Our parents weren't handed one. And so seeking professional help. People who are successful, experts, seek other experts, and they seek help. And as Lynette said in the blog, if your bladder was spewing out a toxic infection, you'd think nothing of getting it checked out. So if our mind's spewing out toxic stuff, we resist seeking help. Seek support, because you deserve joy and bliss. So I invite you to visit savingsuperwoman.com. Visit brain-booster-club.com or brainbonanza.com for more resources to support you in creating that success, that life that you desire and deserve, and to boost your mood from blue to bliss. Because life is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is our life. And you can choose how to live it. And again, as Lori Buchanan said, what you are not changing, you are choosing. Thank you so much for investing the valuable minutes of your life with me here at Spark. And I invite you to explore the archive for other shows about some of the topics that we've talked about and interviews with authors like MJ Ryan and Linda Galindo on accountability and how you can choose language and be accountable in your life. And what that really means. And Lynette Patterson. Lots of authors. Great resources. You deserve it because you are the only you with your gifts, your talents, and your purpose brought to serve others in a very unique way. The world needs your gifts. And I'm happy to support you in giving them to the world in service. So in the week ahead, I hope that you make positive choices to boost your brain, boost your mood, and truly enjoy the moments of your life. Please share the show with those you care about. Please mark it as a favorite. I look forward to being with you again and bringing you some exciting authors and interviews in 2012. Until next time, inhale blessings and exhale gratitude, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.